With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got all the essentials for comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style you can count on. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and effortless looks. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Chapter 1, The Silver Cage. The scent of antiseptic and old linen clung to the night air, a sterile shroud over the small-town secrets Arya guarded. Outside the Evergreen Veterinary Clinic, the world was a black velvet canvas stitched with frost. Inside, under the low hum of fluorescent lights, she polished a steel operating table, her movements precise and quiet. For 5 years, this night shift had been her armor, her cloak of invisibility. Stay unseen. Stay safe. Stay unclaimed. This was the mantra etched onto her soul, a shield against the dangerous currents of a world ruled by packs and bonds. She was Arya, the efficient, solitary vet tech who refused every local mating ceremony invitation, politely deflecting the inquiries about her family line. The truth, tucked away like a venomous snake, was that her heritage wasn't just dormant, it was silver, a lineage rumored to be too fragile or too powerful for the ordinary pack structure. Loneliness, she'd learned, was a manageable sorrow, love was a catastrophic weakness. The clock on the wall read 3 a.m., the hour when the veil between worlds thinned. A familiar, quiet despair settled in her chest, heavy as river stones. Just 6 more hours, she thought. 6 hours until the sun rose and pushed back the shadows where destiny lurked. She wiped a speck of dust from a surgical lamp, the quiet friction a small, rebellious act against fate. Her reflection in the polished steel showed a woman with eyes too old for her face, eyes that held the quiet sorrow of a forgotten melody. The silence, that perfect, protective silence, was violently shredded by the sound of a truck skidding to a halt outside. A rapid, frantic pounding immediately followed. Arya froze, her pulse thundering against her ribs. This wasn't the usual panicked owner with a sick cat. This was raw, primal urgency. Vet. Someone help. I've got something, it's barely alive, a man's voice, rough with panic, shouted. Arya forced her heart to slow. Her goal was to save him because that was her duty, not her desire. She unlocked the back door, letting in a blast of icy wind and a towering man dressed in rough, soiled hunting gear. He was dragging a large, heavy form wrapped in a thick, blood-soaked tarp. The air immediately thickened with a coppery, intoxicating smell, overlaid by something wilder, pine, ozone, and a dangerous, untamed musk. The hunter, eyes wide with fear, dropped the bundle onto the floor. It's not a deer. Found it torn up in the territory line. It smells wrong. Arya knelt down, her hands steady despite the tremor running through her core. As she peeled back the thick fabric, the clinic's fluorescent light caught the creature's face. It was undeniably a man, beautiful, chiseled, framed by dark, wet hair, but the wounds were unlike anything she had ever seen. They were deep, tearing claw marks, yet they were already sealing themselves, knitting together like rapidly spun silk. The way his body mended itself was a terrifying confirmation that he was not fully human, because only ancient blood could possess such rapid repair. Then, she saw his eyes. Even half-closed, they burned with a terrifying, ethereal light, a molten, glowing silver. It wasn't the dull gray of her hidden heritage, this was the fire of a dying star, intense and demanding. An unwelcome current of heat shot up her arm and across her chest, a phantom recognition that made her gasp. Ancient energy met forbidden energy. The touch felt like a forgotten promise being violently remembered. She instinctively pulled her hand back, her breath hitching in her throat. As if roused by the brief, electrifying contact, the stranger's lips parted slightly. A deep, rasping sound, barely audible above the wind rattling the window, escaped him. Aria. Her own name, whispered by a creature she'd never met, shook her more profoundly than the sight of his wounds. The hunter stared at her. Did he just say your name? Aria swallowed, her throat dry as sand. Impossible. He's delirious. She forced herself to sound professional, ignoring the persistent thrumming heat in her palm. The scent of him, intoxicating and lethal, was now a dizzying cloud around her. The sheer intensity of his presence made the clinic feel like a gilded cage because it broke the illusion of her safe isolation. Chapter 2, The Whisper of Destiny. Continuing the inspection, Aria carefully clipped away the remaining torn fabric near the stranger's shoulder. Despite the rapid healing, the sheer depth of the initial trauma suggested a desperate, losing fight. This man, whatever he was, carried the weight of something ancient and terrible. His powerful form, even in repose, radiated a potent energy because it demanded respect and attention. She noticed something else, a detail that sharpened the unsettling pull she felt, a crescent-shaped scar, old and white, just above his collarbone, a symbol she vaguely recognized from discarded pack scrolls her mother had possessed. No, don't look at it. Just treat the patient. She moved to sterilize the remaining superficial cuts, her mind a whirling vortex of questions. How could he know her name? The town was small, yes, but she was a ghost within it. Why did his silver eyes ignite that furious heat within her? It felt like standing too close to a roaring furnace, frightening, yet undeniably warm. The unwanted pull intensified with every professional touch she administered. The hunter, meanwhile, paced nervously by the reception desk. This thing. It fought like a demon. Tore apart three of the big territorial wolves we were tracking. He rubbed the back of his neck, his gaze darting toward the stranger. No pack mark. No scent, except metal and ice. Aria felt a chill not born of the night air. Metal and ice. The legendary scent of the exiled lyric line, the Ghost Alphas. A myth whispered in hushed tones to frighten unruly pups. This creature was not just a powerful shifter, he was a walking legend of tragedy, because the lyric line was synonymous with the worst kind of betrayal and curse. She began setting up in 4-drip, needing to stabilize his vitals before she could do more. But as she moved the needle toward his arm, the skin, which minutes ago had been torn to shreds, was now flawless, smooth, unmarked, and warm beneath her fingertips. A gasp escaped her, silent this time. The healing hadn't just been fast, it was complete. As she lifted the tarp to cover him fully, she saw the faint trace of dark, dense fur retreating back under his skin, an inky tide receding at dawn. He doesn't need the four, she stated flatly, turning to the hunter. He's stable. His wounds closed completely. It's a miracle, or something else. Miracles don't leave tracks like that, the hunter muttered, but he was already retreating, eager to escape the clinic's unsettling atmosphere. He backed away slowly, because the palpable, raw power in the room was suffocating him. After the hunter left, the silence returned, heavier and more loaded than before. Aria sank onto a stool, watching the stranger breathe, deeply and evenly. Her goal had been to save him because it was her sworn duty to all life, but now her goal shifted, to figure out this connection before it consumed her. This is the first sign that destiny is coming for me, she realized with crushing certainty. Just as the faint gray light of dawn began to creep through the clinic windows, casting long, distorted shadows, the heavy, metallic door to the exam room groaned open slightly. Aria spun around, finding the stranger's makeshift bed empty. The blood-soaked tarp lay crumpled on the floor. He was gone. The only evidence of his impossible presence was the lingering scent of ozone and three deep, parallel gouges etched into the solid gypsum wall beside where he had been lying. The claw marks were too high to have been made by a normal wolf. He left before the sun could fully expose him. This dramatic disappearance was the hook because it left the essential questions unanswered. Where did he go, and why did he need her? Chapter 3: The Shadow and the Fire. The rising sun felt cold against Arya's skin as she walked the familiar, quiet route home. Her neighborhood was a scattering of weathered cottages nestled near the forest edge, but today, the trees felt less like a boundary and more like a waiting audience. The disappearance of the strange man, Kaelin, had done more than just shock her. It had left a humming void in her energy field, a persistent, physical ache of connection she couldn't dismiss. Her goal was simply to reach the safety of her cottage because she needed to reset her mind and armor her emotions. "I will deny this. I will deny all of it," she swore, the silent rage of fragile defense. She turned on to the gravel path leading to her porch, when a sudden, sickening sound split the morning quiet, a low, predatory snarl, followed by heavy, quick footsteps. Before she could react, three bulky shapes materialized from the dense scrub oaks. Hunters. Not the fearful, respectful man from the clinic, but hardened predators with glinting knives and eyes fixed solely on her. They smelled of cheap liquor and the reckless confidence of small-time bullies. "Well, well. Look what we have here. Little lonely Arya," the leader sneered, blocking her path. "The packless girl with the pretty silver eyes. We heard you're hiding something valuable, little bird." A cold, paralyzing dread gripped her. This was the moment she had trained her whole life to avoid, exposure. Her knees locked and her breath hitched, not in fear of death, but in fear of her hidden wolf being forced to surface. "Don't shift. Don't fight. Stay invisible." She prepared herself to run, to scatter her scent and confuse them, knowing that even a glimpse of her silver energy would be a death sentence. Just as the lead hunter raised his hand, thick and scarred, a movement faster than any wolf she had ever witnessed erupted from the tree line. It was not a wolf, but a monster, a colossal shape composed of pure, shifting shadow and incandescent white fire. It moved with a devastating, silent grace, a force of nature given terrible form. The beast struck the hunter like a freight train, the resulting impact snapping bone and scattering the others with terrifying ease. It didn't pause, it didn't even growl. It was simply pure, righteous destruction focused entirely on her protection. The sheer brutality of its defense was overwhelming, yet it created an island of perfect safety around her. The air shimmered with the heat of the creature's rage, tasting of ozone and primal bloodlust. The remaining hunters scrambled backward, abandoning their downed companion. They saw the truth in the beast's eyes, a terrifying fusion of ancient curse and untamed power. Then, the monster turned its massive, fiery head toward Arya. Its form began to contract, the shadow receding, the white fire extinguishing. Fur melted into skin, bone compressed and reformed with sickening speed. When the violent, liquid transformation ceased, the creature was gone. Standing in its place, breathing heavily, was him, the mysterious stranger from the clinic, Kaelin Lyric. He was fully dressed now, though his clothes were torn in several places, and the potent scent of raw power still radiated off him in waves. His skin was slick with sweat, his magnificent frame trembling from the effort. Arya's mind shattered. The man she saved was a monster, a savior, and a terrifying revelation all at once. Fear and an undeniable, magnetic attraction collided violently within her chest. It felt like the breaking of a dam, because her carefully constructed emotional walls were instantly submerged by his presence. Her immediate goal of survival was achieved, but now a deeper, more profound fear took root. Kaelin took a single, agonizing step toward her, his silver eyes dark with exhaustion and desperate recognition. He ignored the groaning hunter on the ground. He looked only at Arya, his expression an intense tapestry of pain and fierce possession. The words he spoke were not a question, but a declaration, a primal claim that vibrated through the air and directly into the core of her hidden self. He reached out a hand, his fingertips tracing the outline of her jaw, his touch sending a fiery jolt that settled deeply in her heart. "Aria." His voice was a low, velvet rasp. "You are mine. You always were." He wasn't asking for permission. He was stating an ancient, terrifying truth. The world tilted violently on its axis. "No, I am not anyone's." Panic clawed its way up her throat. She stumbled backward, not from the sight of the monster, but from the terrifying realization that this powerful, handsome stranger saw her, truly saw her, and claimed her with absolute authority. She turned and ran. She didn't look back at the chaos, the downed hunter, or the man who was both monster and protector. She ran not to escape danger, but to escape him, to escape the destiny that had just whispered her name. Chapter 4: The Mark of a Promise. Aria ran until the scent of blood and ozone was replaced by the familiar dust and cedar of her cottage interior. She slammed the door, latching it, but she knew locks were meaningless against a creature capable of shifting shadow and fire. She leaned her back against the cool wood, gasping, trying to claw back the control that had evaporated in Kaelin's presence. Her denial was a desperate, thrashing thing. She refused to believe in fate, because belief meant surrendering her hard-won autonomy. It was just adrenaline. He was delirious. It was a coincidence. She stumbled into the small bathroom, gripping the porcelain sink, forcing herself to stare at her reflection. She looked ordinary, save for the wildness in her silver-flecked eyes. She washed her face furiously, scrubbing away the cold realization of the morning's events. When she lowered her hands, a searing, persistent heat drew her gaze to her left palm. There, faint but unmistakably present, was a tiny, intricate pattern etched onto her skin, glowing with a soft, pulsing warmth. It was a complex, interlocking silver knot, a mark she recognized from the few dusty books she still kept, the sign of a mate bond attempting to reignite. It wasn't a fresh wound, it was an activation, a memory brought violently to the surface. The mark was the ultimate confirmation that she had been noticed by fate, and it fueled her rage at destiny. This was not a pleasant surprise, it felt like a violent, unwelcome invasion. Panic surged through her, hotter than the mark itself. She tried to rub it away, to scratch it off, but the silver not only pulsed harder, a tiny, defiant beacon. "I am not destined for anyone," she screamed internally, her throat tight with repressed emotion. The rejection was sharp, visceral, and instantaneous. She hated this bond because it made her vulnerable, a target, and erased her lifelong efforts to be nobody. As if in direct, psychic response to her silent defiance, a sound ripped through the otherwise silent morning, a howl. It wasn't the triumphant roar of a territorial alpha or the mournful cry of a lost shifter. This sound was raw, deep, and laced with a terrifying, untamed sorrow, and it shook the very windows of her soul. It was a sound only she could hear, a phantom howl echoing the pain of the man, the monster, she had just run from. The sound was a hook, a question mark hanging in the air. Was that the curse, or was that Kaelin? She sank onto the cold tile floor, clutching her burning palm to her chest. She realized, with devastating certainty, that she was no longer alone in the world. The bond was a live wire, linking her irrevocably to a powerful, cursed man. The howl faded, but the silence it left behind was filled with a terrifying awareness. Kaelin was out there, broken and bound to her, and the whole world, hunters, packs, and forgotten prophecies, would soon know it. This agonizing realization was the final beat of her ordinary world. It shattered the illusion of safety and forced a choice upon her. Now, she had to decide whether to hide from him and risk his curse turning him into a permanent monster, or to face him and risk everything she believed about love and survival. Chapter 5: The Exile's Claim. Aria spent the morning trying to extinguish the burning silver knot on her palm, plunging her hand into basins of ice water, but the heat remained, a persistent, internal fever. The residual scent of ozone and primal dominance still clung to her clothes, a suffocating perfume of fate. She knew, with chilling clarity, that running was futile. The only true escape from a mate bond attempting to reignite is to shatter the person on the other end, a deed she was not yet ready to commit because the memory of his protective fury was too fresh. Her mind raced, searching for an ancient ritual or forgotten folklore that could neutralize a connection so forcefully established. A shadow fell across her threshold. The air outside crackled with dense, heavy energy, pushing against the simple wooden frame of her home. Arya slowly turned, her heart hammering against her ribs like a trapped bird. Standing in the sunlight, looking impossibly imposing and entirely human, was Kaelin Lyric. He wore the stark, regal beauty of a predator forced into tailoring, his silver eyes fixed on her with an intensity that pulled the very oxygen from the room. He walked through the open back door, which seemed to sigh and warp slightly under the weight of his passage. "You ran," he stated, his voice a low, gravelly current, lacking any question. "But where can a little bird fly when the wind itself belongs to the Alpha?" Arya took a slow, calculated step backward. "You are no Alpha here. You are an exiled ghost. Get out of my house." Her voice trembled, betraying the practiced calm she tried to project. Kaelin ignored the command, his powerful shoulders brushing the doorframe. "I am Kaelin Lyric. My curse is known. My exile is irrelevant now." He took another step, closing the distance, and the silver mark on her palm flared so brightly it felt like molten metal. "When I am too far from you, the shift takes me. I become the creature you saw this morning, pure rage, pure instinct. I cannot control it." Arya's breath hitched. The curse was not a punishment. It was a tether, a weapon aimed directly at her freedom. "And you believe I am the fix for this affliction?" she demanded, gesturing sharply to her hand. "The bond is barely a flicker. Reject it." Kaelin's expression darkened, etched with a profound, old pain. "I tried that. Years ago. The first time the bond activated, I fought it, convinced my cursed blood would taint you. The rejection tore through me like lightning, but it did not break the connection. It only fractured my sanity and transformed me into this thing that requires your proximity to maintain a human form." He looked genuinely tormented. "When I tried to leave this morning, the darkness started consuming my bones, because your proximity is the only salve against the curse." His vulnerability was a strategic weapon, weakening her resistance. Arya felt a treacherous spike of pity, swiftly followed by self-preservation. Her immediate goal was clear: break this connection definitively, because she refused to be a walking antidote for someone else's genetic tragedy. "Then leave. I am not responsible for your damnation." Before Kaelin could reply, a sudden, urgent whistle pierced the air outside. A pack patrol. Arya recognized the sharp, medicinal scent of the local sentinel wolves, strong, organized, and hostile to rogue elements. They were closing in. Kaelin froze, his eyes snapping toward the window. The human facade cracked, and a low, resonant grr sounded deep in his chest. "They sent me. If I shift here, they will kill us both." Arya had a split second to decide. Expose the ghost Alpha and risk certain death, or shield him and irrevocably cement their shared fate. Her hand flew to his arm, pulling him toward the shadowed back stairwell leading to her secluded basement sanctuary. The choice was forced, agonizing, and final. She was now tied to a dangerous Alpha. Chapter 6, A Cage for Two. Propelled by sudden, desperate speed, Arya shoved Kaelin into the tight, dirt-floored space beneath her cottage. The air down here was thick with the scent of damp earth and the heavy perfume of winter apples, a stark contrast to the volatile ozone surrounding him. He towered over her in the cramped space, the forced proximity immediately amplifying the heat and frantic thrumming of the bond on her palm. She could feel the enormous, terrifying power coiled within his muscles, barely restrained by his current human shape. "Quiet," she hissed, listening to the heavy boots and deliberate sniffing sounds of the patrol just outside the cottage walls. The sentinels moved with lethal efficiency, because they were hunting a rogue, and rogues never survived a capture. Kalen leaned his head back against a cold stone pillar, his breath coming in ragged, shallow bursts. Even in the gloom, she could see the effort it took for him to hold his human form. Dark, thick veins began to protrude along his neck and forearms, throbbing visibly. The shadows seemed to elongate around him, a physical manifestation of the curse trying to drag him under. "It is worse now," he choked out, sweat breaking out across his brow. "The rejection earlier, when you ran, fractured the connection enough to let the monster gain ground. Now, the stress of this confinement accelerates it." His eyes were starting to glow again, molten silver spreading from the pupils. Arya watched, horrified, as his fingers elongated slightly, the nails darkening and sharpening into wicked claws. This was more than a curse, it was a living, parasitic affliction. Her heart was a drum of fear, but a strange, fierce protective instinct, an impulse she had never permitted herself to feel, flared up to meet the terror. She wanted him to stop suffering because his pain was now her own. Acting on pure, desperate impulse, she reached out, placing both her hands firmly on his broad, heaving chest. The human flesh was burning hot, but beneath it, she could feel the powerful rhythm of a heart fighting a biological war. As her pure silver energy met his cursed lyric blood, the darkness around him seemed to visibly recoil. The violent shifting paused. The veins retreated. Kalen gasped, the sound a mixture of shock and profound relief. "Arya. Your touch. It quiets the shadow." He covered her hands with his own, his grip tight, almost crushing. His eyes, now mostly human silver again, stared into hers with devastating clarity. His gaze was a silent declaration, he was saved, and the price was her freedom. The patrol outside gave up and retreated, their heavy steps fading into the distance. Silence returned, but it was a suffocating, intimate quiet. Kalen pulled her hands away from his chest, studying the silver knot pulsing on her palm. He spoke then, the low, rumbling question she dreaded, slicing through the tension like cold steel. "Why does fate bind a monster like me to a beautiful, elusive creature like you?" He didn't wait for an answer, instead leaning closer, his gaze dropping to her mouth. "Why did your touch taste like salvation?" Arya's breath caught. She was trembling not from fear of the curse, but from the searing closeness of a man who both terrified and inexplicably calmed her chaotic spirit. His proximity was a dangerous drug she was already addicted to. The sheer depth of his need, his reliance on her, was a heavy chain. Chapter 7, The Wilderness Claim. The basement sanctuary was ruined. Kalen's potent scent and the terrifying proof of their unbreakable connection made it impossible for Arya to return to her life. She stood by the kitchen window, watching the distant headlights of what was surely another pack search, and made her choice. She had been running from destiny for years, now she would run with it. Her new goal was not to sever the bond, but to understand it, because only truth could grant her real freedom. "We can't stay here," Arya stated, her voice steady now, purged of its earlier hysteria. She retrieved a worn leather satchel containing her meager savings, a few herbal remedies, and the ancient, fragmented scrolls her mother left behind. "The patrols will be back in force. They know a rogue was here." Kalen stood by the door, having regained his composure, but the silver fire in his eyes never dimmed. He looked like an ancient king forced to wander the earth. "Where will we go?" "The local packs will report my presence to the council. Every territory will be a trap." Arya met his gaze, the silver flecks in her own eyes hardening with resolve. "Then we go where no one dares to claim territory, the abandoned peaks. The old boundary lands. They are cursed, rumored to consume any alpha who tries to settle there." A faint, predatory smile touched Kalen's lips. "A cursed alpha in cursed lands. Poetic." He moved toward her, his proximity an electric hum. "If we are to survive this journey, you must accept what we are." You are my anchor, Arya. He lifted her chin, forcing her to hold his gaze. My sanity hinges on your breath. I accept nothing but survival, she countered fiercely, trying to ignore the heat radiating from his touch. We are partners in escape, nothing more. Do not presume ownership. Presumption? Kaelin's voice dropped, rich and dangerous. I fought my way back from the brink of a monster just to stand here with you. That is not presumption, that is fact. His claim was not possessive in a cruel sense, but deeply primal, born of profound need. Before they could argue further, the crunch of gravel signaled another, closer arrival. This time, it wasn't a patrol. It was a group of well-armed, professional hunters, the kind who worked for the Council, specializing in terminating rogue shifters. We leave now. Arya grabbed his wrist, her touch already an instinctive reflex to calm his rising anxiety. She wrenched open the back door and plunged into the dense, frozen woods. The forest was a maze of shadows and snapping twigs. They ran side by side, the rhythm of their escape strangely synchronized. Arya pushed her body harder than she ever had, the fear lending her impossible speed. Kaelin, meanwhile, moved like the shadow she had witnessed earlier, effortlessly clearing brush and downed logs. Suddenly, Kaelin shoved her hard behind the protective root of a giant cedar. A silver-tipped arrow whizzed past where her head had been, embedding itself deep in the wood. Kaelin crouched, his body half-tensed in a partial shift, muscles bunching and his jaw square with contained fury. His human voice was strained, the effort to suppress the monster nearly unbearable. They are targeting you. They know you are the key to my curse. Arya looked at the arrow, her heart sinking. She was no longer just running from destiny, she was running for her life, dragged into the high-stakes conflict of a banished alpha. This was the point of no return because every action she took now sealed her fate to his. As the hunter's shouts echoed closer, Kaelin rose, taking her arm, pulling her deeper into the trackless wilderness. He didn't speak again. Instead, his cursed wolf responded, its voice not a word but a deep, guttural vibration that rumbled directly into her soul, a sound of absolute, terrifying ownership. Mate. The sound was a raw, primal declaration, a possessive anchor thrown into the storm. Arya stumbled, the sound shocking her to the core. She was fully committed now, fleeing with a monster who saw her not as a person, but as a vital part of his terrifying survival. Their escape path lay ahead, dark, treacherous, and utterly unknown. The wilderness claimed them both. Chapter 8, The Weight of the Bond. The abandoned peaks lived up to their menacing reputation. 3 days into their desperate flight, the air grew thin, smelling of sulfur and ancient decay. The trees were skeletal giants, and the silence was heavy, broken only by the sharp, rhythmic crunch of their boots on frost-covered shale. Arya and Kaelin had found temporary shelter in a shallow cave, the entrance partially concealed by thorny, black vines. The constant threat of capture was a tangible blanket of dread, forcing Arya to rely entirely on the man beside her because survival overruled every instinct of independence. A small, carefully contained fire offered scant warmth, its light casting dancing shadows that played tricks with Kaelin's weary features. He was still entirely human, a testament to the success of her proximity, but the constant strain of suppressing the curse was visible in the rigid set of his jaw and the shadows beneath his silver eyes. The curse is tied to my life force, Kaelin explained, his voice rough from exhaustion. He knelt opposite her, using a shard of shale to scratch diagrams in the dirt floor. When I was 12, a rival alpha, jealous of my lineage, struck me with black magic. It wasn't meant to kill, it was meant to shatter my command. It bound my alpha wolf, the core of my power, to a monstrous, untamed shadow. Arya shivered, wrapping her worn cloak tighter. But why me? Why is your shadow soothed by my blood? Kaelin paused, running a tired hand through his dark hair. The magic required two impossibly rare components, a cursed lyric alpha and a silver wolf, unsanctified and unclaimed. The curse was designed to find its perfect antithesis. The legend says the Silver Line has the unique ability to calm primal rage, an internal peace that counters the lyric shadow. He looked at her, his expression a complicated mix of awe and regret. You were merely a child then, an innocent victim, but the curse found you. Arya felt a cold, crushing weight descend upon her shoulders. She wasn't an unwilling mate, she was a biological necessity, a magical battery. The truth felt like betrayal because it confirmed that destiny valued her power, not her heart. Her denial was cracking, giving way to profound vulnerability. I am defined by the very heritage I tried to bury, she thought, the realization stinging like a lash. You knew this, she stated, her voice flat. You knew what I was when you found me at the clinic. I knew the bond reignited, Kaelin corrected, his gaze intense. But I didn't know your name until the moment our skin touched. The first whisper of the curse was my wolf, claiming its peace. The man only followed the desperate call. He reached out slowly, stopping his fingers just short of her trembling hand. I understand why you despise this. But understand this, too, the closer we are, the less the monster rules me. I am capable of reason. I am capable of protecting you. Arya looked past him, into the heavy, suffocating darkness outside the small cave. Her life now was reduced to this single, terrifying truth. Her core mission shifted, understand the truth of the Silver Line because that was the only way to sever her fate from his without killing him. She woke hours later, the fire reduced to embers. The temperature inside the cave was frigid, but Kaelin was awake, sitting perfectly still, his back against the stone wall. He wasn't sleeping, he was watching her, his posture that of a sentry on an ancient, eternal vigil. His eyes, though weary, were soft, protective. His silent presence was a strange hook, making her question if he was truly a monster, or just a broken man clinging to the last shred of light. Chapter 9, The Silver Whisper. The next day, their journey led them through a narrow, winding pass shrouded in perpetual mist. The silence was unnerving, broken only by the drip of moisture from the jagged rock formations above. The closeness between them was now an unbearable intimacy. They moved as one shadow, Kaelin always slightly ahead, guarding her path, yet close enough that the soothing silver energy of her bond kept the darkness at bay. The pressure of the forced connection started to manifest in unexpected ways. Arya had always felt dull, suppressed, but now, her senses were heightened to an almost painful degree. She could hear the rustle of hidden creatures miles away, she could taste the metallic tang of hidden iron or in the rock face. It was as if Kaelin's alpha energy was acting as a catalyst, violently awakening her dormant powers. Stop! Arya suddenly hissed, grabbing Kaelin's arm. He immediately dropped into a defensive crouch, his eyes scanning the mist-shrouded rocks. What is it? Scent. Not packed. Not a hunter. Her voice was low and tight. It smells like old leather and bitter smoke. Scouts. Rival Alpha Scouts. They're tracking us, but they are wary of this territory. Kaelin frowned, impressed and wary of her sudden acuity. I didn't catch that until just now. Your senses are sharper than a standard wolf's, even my own. He looked at her palm, the silver knot glowing faintly against her skin. The bond is doing this. It's forcing your bloodline to surface. Just as they prepared to retreat, two large, imposing figures emerged from the mist, wearing no pack markers but radiating overt hostility. They were testing the boundary of the cursed peaks, clearly sent to verify the rumors of the Ghost Alpha's presence. Well, look at what the exile dragged in, one scout sneered, drawing a gleaming obsidian dagger. And he's got a weak, unbonded female with him. Pathetic. The taunt hit Kaelin like a physical blow. His composure fractured. The insults weren't aimed at his weakness, but at her lack of protection, making his protective instincts surge. A dangerous, low growl rumbled in his throat. Leave her out of this, Kaelin warned, stepping fully in front of Arya, shielding her completely. The second scout lunged, quick and brutal. Kaelin met the attack with devastating speed. The fight was a blur of primal strength and controlled violence. Kaelin fought with grim, efficient power, but the strain of holding his cursed wolf back while exerting alpha energy was visible. His movements were too heavy, too deliberate. During a split second when Kaelin was grappling with one man, the other scout moved to flank him, aiming for Kaelin's exposed side. Arya instinctively thrust her hand forward, intending to push the scout away. What happened next was not a push. A brilliant, white light erupted from her palm, a pure, incandescent flash of silver aura. The light hit the scout, not with force, but with a paralyzing wave of internal peace. The scout froze, dropping his dagger, his face slack with shock and momentary terror. Kaelin took advantage of the paralysis, swiftly dispatching the initial threat, then whipping around to face the new development. The silver light faded instantly, but the shock lingered. Arya stared at her hand, horrified. She saw proof that she was more than she believed, because the power she suppressed for decades was now fighting to protect her alpha. The sudden, shocking manifestation of her power was a profound moment of self-doubt and fear. Kaelin looked at her, his expression unreadable. He had saved her, but she had, momentarily, saved him by revealing her true nature. The scout she paralyzed fled in absolute terror. "What was that?" Kaelin whispered, his voice laced with awe. "I don't know," Arya confessed, fear and astonishment warring in her eyes. "But it felt like the quiet before the storm." Chapter 10, The Reckoning. The unexpected burst of silver power in the mountain pass left Arya shaken. They retreated further into the cursed lands, finding refuge in the crumbling remains of an ancient stone watchtower, where the air was colder and the shadows deeper. Arya was consumed by the realization that her life was a lie. She was a shifter, a powerful one, tied to the most feared alpha in their history. Her initial denial was now fully replaced by a desperate need for control over her own awakening. Kaelin was quiet, observing her with an unnerving intensity that made her skin prickle. He was conserving his energy, the partial shift from the fight still taxing his system. He sat near the cold stone hearth, his great frame hunched, the curse a palpable, dark weight around him. "You are stronger than you realize," Kaelin finally murmured, breaking the tense silence. "The silver aura is not just peace, it is raw, elemental power. It is why the curse chose you." He spoke softly, not as a mate, but as a guardian revealing a perilous truth. "Your mother kept you ignorant for a reason. She knew what you were." Just then, the structure shuddered violently. They were not alone. A small, heavily armed faction of hunters had tracked them to the tower, their shouts echoing menacingly through the stone structure. "He's here. The Ghost Alpha. Take him alive if you can, but bring the girl dead," a gruff voice commanded from below. The urgency was immediate, lethal. Kaelin surged to his feet, a low, savage growl vibrating the floor. The curse exploded outward, this time, he couldn't contain it. His transformation was brutal and terrifying, not the controlled, monstrous form, but an agonizing, half-completed shift. His bones cracked audibly, his skin tearing, dark fur erupting in patches. He was trapped between man and beast, a writhing, tortured vision of duality. "Go. Arya. Run." Kaelin roared, his voice thick with agony, but the command was lost in a broken snarl. Arya didn't hesitate. She knew running would doom him, the separation would complete the monstrous transformation. Her immediate goal was to save him without surrendering to the full mate bond, because she still feared the total loss of self. She scrambled across the rough stone floor, reaching his flailing, powerful body. The hunters burst into the room just as Arya collided with Kaelin. She threw her arms around his neck, pressing her burning, silver-marked palm against his carotid artery, where the chaotic flow of his cursed blood was most violent. The contact was a blinding shockwave. Her silver energy flowed into him, a warm, cleansing tide against his dark curse. The pain in his body receded instantly, the violent shifting stopping midway. But the bond itself surged, a wildfire racing between them. It was a dizzying, emotional hurricane, filled with Kaelin's raw agony, his desperate need, and his fierce, untamed affection for her. The emotional connection was overwhelming, terrifying her with its intensity. She realized she was not just healing his shift, she was momentarily joining his very being. She was terrified by how much she felt because his soul was undeniably beautiful despite the monster trying to consume it. The hunters, startled by the strange, silver glow emanating from the entwined pair, hesitated. Kaelin, now partially stabilized, used the opportunity to unleash a powerful, deafening alpha roar that cracked the stone floor. The hunters retreated, stunned and temporarily deafened. Arya pulled back, gasping, her lungs burning, her whole body vibrating with residual energy. The intense flush of the bond subsided, leaving a tender warmth where her denial had been. The bond was stronger now, a humming, insistent presence. Kaelin looked down at her, his features returned mostly to humans, but his eyes were wide, glittering with a profound, consuming desire. He reached out, his thumb brushing her cheekbone, pulling her closer. Their faces were inches apart, their shared breath mingling in the cold air. They were too close, too entwined, too vulnerable. Their lips were about to meet, a kiss that would seal the bond forever, when a loud, mournful chorus of howls echoed from the valley below, signaling the arrival of a huge, organized pack, far larger and more dangerous than any hunter group. The immediate threat of the kiss was interrupted by a greater, more imminent peril. They had found their location. Kaelin seized her hand, pulling her toward a crumbling exit. We move. Now. This was the end of their brief, dangerous sanctuary. Arya was no longer running from a connection, she was running with a connection, her transformation accelerating with every beat of her Alpha's cursed heart. Chapter 11, The Ultimate Betrayal. The narrow escape from the watchtower left Arya cold, exhausted, and desperately clear-headed. They traveled through the next day in grim silence, hiding in the dark, cavernous underbelly of a massive glacial ravine where the light barely penetrated. The persistent threat of the organized pack below them was a crushing weight, but the real enemy was the bond itself. Every time she touched Kaelin, her silver aura had stabilized him, but the bond had tightened, pulling her further from herself. The dangerous magnetic pull of the connection felt like a ticking clock, urging her to surrender because his strength was becoming her weakness. She watched Kaelin sleep, his powerful body finally at rest, and felt a dangerous spike of tenderness, quickly replaced by pure, defensive panic. I can't fall for him. Not after everything. Love, in her experience, led only to abandonment and exposure. She had to destroy the bond before it destroyed her identity. She reached into her satchel, pulling out the frayed, cryptic scrolls salvaged from her mother's belongings. The paper was brittle, smelling faintly of old herbs and forgotten magic. She recognized one symbol immediately, the Tear of the Labyrinth, a ritual rumored to sever a mate bond so deeply that the memories of the pairing are erased entirely. It was forbidden, irreversible, and potentially lethal, but it offered the one thing Kaelin could not, freedom. Arya worked carefully in the faint, diffused light, whispering the incantations under her breath. Her goal was absolute, end this forced coupling before her heart chose him, because she feared being chosen by destiny more than she feared death. She carefully prepared the required ingredients, a pinch of nightshade powder, a drop of her own blood, and a silver coin melted down and cooled, arranging them on a flat stone. This hard denial was her core flaw at war with the rising tide of her heart. A branch snapped outside the ravine's entrance, sharp and sudden. Arya froze, swiftly sweeping the tools back into her satchel. Kaelin stirred, his eyes opening instantly, sharp and alert even from a dead sleep. He looked directly at her, not at the noise. He scented her frantic internal shift, the scent of fear mixed with the faint, bitter aroma of the nightshade. What were you doing? Kaelin's voice was a deep, quiet rumble, devoid of anger but heavy with suspicion. He moved with deceptive speed, rising to his full height. His silent question was a hook, demanding an explanation because he could sense the profound threat she posed to their partnership. Arya forced a nonchalant shrug, clutching the satchel close. "Just checking my supplies. We need water." She tried to sound mundane, but the tremor in her voice betrayed her. She refused to meet his gaze, instead focusing on the swirling dust motes in the scant light. Kaelin took a single, slow step toward her, his silver eyes blazing with sudden insight. "You were looking for a way out. Not an escape from the hunters, but an escape from me." He moved closer still, his scent, ozone and ice, overwhelming her senses. "You were preparing to sever the connection." Arya swallowed, unable to maintain the lie. "If you shift, the hunters die. If I stay, I lose myself. There is no other path that leaves both of us whole, Kaelin." He stared down at her, his expression twisting with a deep, crushing sorrow that transcended their current danger. His profound emotional pain was a dangerous tool, immediately putting her on the defensive. Chapter 12, The Shattered Memory. The moment Kaelin saw the denial in her eyes, the truth spilled from him, a torrent of agonizing history that changed the course of their story instantly. "The tear of the labyrinth doesn't work on this bond, Arya. Because the bond didn't appear 3 days ago. It reignited." Kaelin's voice rose, echoing off the stone walls of the ravine. His hands clenched into fists, fighting the urge to shatter the world around them. Arya recoiled, confusion battling with a fresh wave of panic. "I don't know what you are talking about. I have never seen you before last week." Kaelin stepped back, his expression raw, defeated. "Your memory was erased. It was part of the curse's aftermath." He paused, his breath ragged, gathering the strength to reveal the ultimate source of her pain. He hesitated because revealing the truth meant losing her trust forever, but honesty was the only remaining weapon. "Arya, years ago, when the black magic first shattered my Alpha Core, it didn't just look for a silver wolf. It found you. You were my true mate. We were children." His words were delivered like sharp shards of glass. "Your parents, they were protecting us. They fought the rival Alpha, the same one who cursed me, to save you from the madness." He took another agonizing breath. "The night of the massacre, they didn't just die protecting me, they died because of me. The curse was a wild beast, and it drew the violence to your family. The black magic was meant to prevent the mate bond from ever completing, so the council could use your silver healing power for themselves. To protect you from that fate and from the guilt of seeing your parents fall, the magic was twisted. It didn't break the bond entirely, but it fractured it, leaving only the mark, and it stole your memory of me." The revelation landed with the force of an avalanche. Arya didn't just feel shock, she felt utter, blinding betrayal. Her pain was not simply rooted in her childhood abandonment, it was directly caused by the man standing before her, the man she was falling for. Every moment of quiet sorrow, every fear of being chosen, was directly traceable to Kaelin and the curse he carried. She felt used by destiny, and profoundly betrayed by him, because he knew their history was blood-soaked and painful yet chose to manipulate her bond. "No," Arya whispered, the sound cracking with raw devastation. She felt a profound violation, a theft of her own history and agency. "You let me believe I was a paranoid loner, running from a phantom. You knew my parents' deaths were tied to you." Kaelin moved forward, desperation etched on his face. "I was trying to shield you. I feared the truth would. I reject you." Arya screamed, the words tearing from her throat with absolute conviction. It wasn't just a verbal statement, it was a furious, physical rejection of their forced history and her stolen past. Her rejection was necessary because it was the only way to reclaim the agency that his past actions had stripped from her. The silver knot on her palm flared violently, not with warmth, but with blistering, agonizing heat. A sharp, loud crack echoed through the ravine, followed by a sound like rushing water, the mate bond fractured. Both Kaelin and Arya staggered, gripping their chests as though hit by physical force, the pain a paralyzing electrical shock. Chapter 13, The Echo of Agony. The fracture of the bond was immediate and devastating. It ripped through the silent connection that had kept Kaelin stable, and the full, terrifying weight of the curse rushed back in. Kaelin collapsed onto the cold stone floor with a strangled cry, his body instantly besieged by the monster he fought so desperately to contain. Patches of dark, coarse fur erupted across his skin, his breathing becoming shallow, panicked gasps. He writhed, no longer able to maintain his human shape. Arya stood frozen, clutching her chest, the searing pain of the fracture slowly subsiding into a deep, hollow ache that felt worse than any physical wound. The betrayal, sharp and bitter, solidified her decision. He was a danger, a liar, and the direct source of her lifelong misery. Walk away, her mind shrieking, a cold, reasonable command. He is a curse. Leave him now, while you still can. This moment was the ultimate test of her core flaw. The fear of being chosen was now amplified by the fear of being betrayed. She turned her back to his suffering, and took a single, difficult step toward the mouth of the ravine. Freedom was there, cold and empty, but it was hers. Just as she reached the edge of the shadows, Kaelin let out a sound that wasn't a roar or a snarl. It was a broken, choked-off sound of pure, childlike agony, the raw, guttural cry of a man drowning in his own monster. Arya, help me. The sound hit her like a physical blow, snapping the fragile armor of her rage. That cry, that deep, vulnerable plea, was not the sound of the alpha who had claimed her, nor the monster who had protected her. It was the sound of the 12-year-old boy who had lost his first love and his sanity in the same brutal night. Arya stopped, her shoulders slumping. Guilt, heavy and suffocating, washed over her. She couldn't walk away from that noise. She couldn't abandon him to the curse, even if he was the reason for her heartbreak. Her self-preservation instinct was at war with a strange, emerging compulsion to save him, because his suffering was undeniably hers. She turned slowly, facing the horrifying sight of Kaelin's half-shifted body. She did not approach him, but she did not leave either. She was a frozen statue, chained by a terrible new awareness. She heard the wind outside pick up, howling through the desolate peaks, and within that mournful sound, she heard the whisper of the curse, an ancient, dark energy rejoicing at the return of its host. The monster's voice, a low, rasping promise, seemed to mock her hesitation. You can't escape us, Arya. The final beat of her denial had passed. She was consumed by guilt and haunted by the knowledge that she could end his suffering with a single touch, yet the cost was her emotional submission. The only resolution to this agony lay in the future. The darkness of the ravine seemed to deepen around them, hiding both the suffering man and the conflicted woman. She knew, with a sinking dread, that the rejection had only made the conflict more urgent, more lethal. Chapter 14, The Price of Treachery. The fragile moment of shattered connection in the ravine was violently interrupted by the return of the council hunters. The agony of the fractured bond had left Kaelin nearly helpless, his body struggling against the full takeover of the curse. He was an easy, heartbreaking target. Arya watched, paralyzed by the residual shock of the rejection and the horrific speed of their coordinated attack. The hunters moved with ruthless efficiency because they had precise knowledge of Kaelin's weakness, his dependence on her silver light. They flooded the ravine entrance, their faces grim, their weapons, not silver this time, but heavy tranquilizer nets and iron chains, designed to incapacitate, not kill. They recognized her instantly. The Silver Witch. Don't let her touch him, the leader roared, pointing a rifle directly at Arya. Kaelin, half-shifted, let out a guttural, wounded scream when the heavy nets struck him. He thrashed, trying to regain his full human form to protect her, but the curse fought back, tearing him into agonizing pieces of man and monster. Arya saw the pure panic and desperation in his silver eyes as they dragged him, helpless, across the rough stone floor. Arya. Run, he managed to choke out, his voice already dissolving into a beast's strained growl. She was shoved back against the rock face, the sudden, violent separation tearing at the raw wound of the fractured bond. The emotional pain was immediate and searing, a physical confirmation that a piece of her sanity had just been ripped away. Her deepest fear was realized: love destroys everything. She watched as they chained Kaelin, his powerful limbs bound by cold iron, which steamed and sizzled against his cursed skin. They did not touch her, they simply considered her a neutralized threat, the bond effectively severed by her rejection. They dragged the Alpha away, the sound of his ragged breathing and the scraping of iron chains echoing off the ravine walls until they faded into silence. When the silence returned, it was a heavy, terrible thing, a vacuum where Kaelin's powerful presence had been. Arya sank to the ground, no longer paralyzed by shock, but consumed by a furious, terrifying rage. This rage wasn't aimed at Kaelin for the betrayal of their past, it was aimed at the Hunters, at the Council, and at the universe that dared to interfere with her choice. They had taken her freedom, stolen her memory, and now they had taken the man whose suffering she could not ignore. The terror of her capture was eclipsed by a fierce, undeniable desperation. She realized she could not leave him to this fate, because the void he left was a greater torment than the bond itself. Her commitment deepened instantly, she could not be free if he was suffering. Clutching her aching palm, where the silver knot felt cold and desolate, Arya rose. Her new, immediate goal was absolute: track them alone and find the prison. She ignored the pain, ignored the risk. Her survival instinct had been replaced by a primal, fierce desire to reclaim what the Hunters had stolen. She emerged from the ravine, her eyes fixed on the faint, disturbed earth where the Hunter's trail began. Chapter 15, The Silver Prophecy. The Hunter's trail led Arya down from the desolate peaks and back toward the outskirts of civilization, specifically toward a notoriously grim, isolated fortress near the old territory borders, a compound rumored to house council experiments and high-value prisoner shifters. The closer she got, the harder the air became to breathe, thick with the sense of fear, iron, and stale magic. Arya moved like a ghost, relying on the awakened senses gifted by the fractured bond. She slipped past the outer perimeter with unnerving ease, her movement silent, her silver energy naturally dampening the wards that usually alerted shifters to traps. The forbidden heritage she had suppressed for years was now her greatest weapon, because it allowed her to navigate the defenses meant for ordinary wolves. She found a ventilation shaft leading down into the fortress's subterranean levels and slid into the darkness, the cold metal grating scraping against her skin. The smell of Kaelin was stronger down here, a potent mix of ozone, blood, and pain that made her stomach clench with visceral agony. Following the scent, she arrived at a large, dusty chamber that seemed to serve as the facility's archives. Scattered across a heavy wooden table were scrolls, maps, and detailed, gruesome drawings of cursed shifters. But one document seized her attention, a large ancient parchment detailing a prophecy, written in a ceremonial script. She quickly scanned the text, her mind racing to translate the archaic language. The central thesis was chilling: the ghost Alpha, bound by the shadow curse, can only be unbound by the touch of the unclaimed silver. Only the silver wolf can free the cursed Alpha, not through love, but through the willful, conscious choice of the bond. The prophecy wasn't a warning, it was a blueprint. Her identity was not accidental, it was essential to a vast, generations-old political conflict. The Hunters weren't just killing a rogue, they were trying to prevent the completion of a prophetic bond that could potentially unite two powerful, opposing forces. A profound, sickening realization washed over her. Her parents had died to hide the solution to the curse, not just to save her life. Her trauma was a political act designed to keep Kaelin trapped and her power suppressed. This realization gave way to an explosive internal panic at the scale of the responsibility now resting on her shoulders. She was not just saving him, she was potentially altering the balance of power in the entire shifter world. The sound of heavy boots approaching forced her back into the shadows. She gathered her resolve, leaving the scroll behind but taking the crushing weight of its knowledge with her. She was no longer Arya, the scared vet tech. She was the unclaimed silver, the key to a prophecy. She was essential. She found the holding cells deeper within the fortress, guided by the familiar, intense scent of metal and ice. A profound silence hung over the corridor, the silence of profound suffering. Chapter 16, The Vow of Claim. Arya reached the final cell, a thick, steel-reinforced cavern that smelled overwhelmingly of desperation. Inside, Kaelin lay crumpled on a slab of stone, encased in heavy, shimmering iron shackles that continuously sapped his strength. He was barely human, a nightmare vision of the transformation caught midway. His skin was pale, sweat-soaked, and covered in patches of dark, matted fur. His silver eyes were glazed over, red-rimmed and dull. He was dying. The curse, fueled by the rejection, was consuming him faster than his body could fight. The sight of his physical agony was a physical blow to her, because it confirmed the lethal seriousness of the bond she had carelessly fractured. The anger at his past betrayal evaporated instantly, replaced by a consuming terror of losing him. "Kaelin," she whispered, her voice cracking with raw emotion. She pressed her face against the cold bars, her hand instinctively reaching toward his suffering form. He didn't respond at first. He was too deep in the throes of the curse, fighting a silent, internal battle against the shadow that was trying to claim him forever. Arya's rational mind screamed at her to leave. He was dangerous. He was the reason her parents died. He represented the loss of everything she cherished. But the sight of him, broken, defeated, and slowly fading, triggered a ferocious response deep in her core. It was the protective instinct of the silver wolf, finally unchained. She recognized that his death would not bring her freedom, it would bring a lifetime of cold, empty regret. This was the moment of decision. She had to choose him, not because she was forced, but because his survival had become irrevocably linked to her own. "I take back the rejection," Arya whispered fiercely, her voice thick with absolute resolve. She gripped the cold iron bars, the silver knot on her palm flaring with a desperate, silver light. She repeated the vow, making her choice known to the curse, the facility, and her own soul. "I take it back, Kaelin. I choose to be your bond." Kaelin stirred at the sound of her voice, the pure conviction cutting through the haze of his agony. His silver eyes flickered, struggling to focus on her face. A small, desperate tremor ran through his body. Arya knew words weren't enough. She had to touch him. Reaching through a small, jagged gap in the bars, she stretched her hand toward his head, ignoring the risk of the curse's uncontrolled surge. Her fingers finally brushed the side of his cheek, resting against the hot, damp skin. The touch was a lifeline. The curse immediately recoiled, shying away from the silver light. Kaelin let out a long, shuddering gasp, the first genuine breath he had taken since his capture. His eyes finally focused, clear and sharp, recognizing her. "Arya," he rasped, his voice weak but coherent. She leaned in, her forehead pressed against the iron, her voice fierce with determination. "Kaelin, you have to fight. Not for destiny, but for me. I choose you. Come back." This was her final commitment. She had accepted that she cared deeply, profoundly, for the Alpha. She would not let him die alone in this cold, dark hole. The question now was not whether they were bound, but how they would escape the walls closing in around them. The final, high-stakes threat was immediate. She heard the heavy, metallic sound of the outer door closing, sealing them both inside the fortress. She was trapped. Her choice was made, and now the consequences had arrived. Chapter 17, The Echoes of Betrayal. The rival Alpha ambushes them. Arya is captured, Kaelin is forced to shift into full monstrous. Arya's desperate vow to save Kaelin provided only temporary respite. The touch of her silver light had stabilized him, slowing the curse's progression, but it hadn't removed the iron shackles, nor had it opened the locked steel doors of the prison cell. They were trapped. Kaelin, regaining a semblance of human control, immediately focused on their escape. "The seal is keyed to Alpha rank," Kaelin rasped, his voice still weak but driven by renewed purpose. He pressed his shoulder against the thick door, the effort making the iron chains sizzle. We need a massive power surge to crack the lock. Just as Arya began to channel her silver energy toward the lock, a risky attempt at bypassing the physical constraints, a new voice cut through the air, cold, triumphant, and dripping with malicious pleasure. A surge of power is exactly what I was counting on, Ghost. The outer corridor door hissed open, revealing a figure Arya instantly recognized from her mother's fragmented notes. Marius, the exiled rival Alpha who had originally cursed Kaelin and orchestrated the massacre years ago. Marius was tall, sleek, and radiated a smooth, utterly terrifying control, his eyes gleaming with dark, calculating intelligence. The little silver which came right to the trap, Marius sneered, stepping into the corridor with two heavily armed subordinates. You always were too sentimental, Kaelin. Giving up freedom for a broken child's safety. Kaelin roared, a sound of pure, helpless fury, thrashing against his chains. His protective instincts instantly went nuclear, because Marius was the architect of all their pain. The emotional spike was too sharp, too immediate. Arya's calming touch wasn't enough to fight the psychological trauma induced by Marius's presence. The silver light she was generating to crack the lock turned brittle. The curse seized the opportunity. Kaelin's body convulsed violently. The transformation was no longer a partial, agonizing process, but a full, devastating surrender. His human form dissolved in a rush of shadow and muscle. The shackles snapped like dry twigs under the sheer, colossal expansion of his true monstrous shape. He was the beast of pure white fire and shadow she had seen before, but magnified, utterly untamed, consumed by unquenchable rage. Marius merely smiled, watching the destruction. He knew the monster could not differentiate friend from foe. As Kaelin's colossal, frenzied body slammed against the cell wall, Marius moved with chilling speed, grabbing Arya before she could react. He dragged her away from the towering beast. Look, Silver Witch! That is the true form of your chosen mate. Marius hissed, holding her tightly, his hand clamped over her mouth to silence her desperate cries. Arya's heart seized with despair and horror. This was her worst fear confirmed. Love destroyed everything. The man she had just vowed to save was gone, replaced by a monstrous embodiment of the curse. She felt utterly helpless, captured by the villain, while her Alpha, the only person who could save her, no longer recognized her face. Chapter 18, The Bloody Past. Marius dragged Arya through a labyrinth of dusty, torch-lit tunnels beneath the fortress, ignoring the devastating roars echoing behind them as the cursed monster tore the prison cell apart. He shoved her roughly into a small, cold chamber, binding her hands with thin, silver-laced cords that neutralized her minor abilities. Marius leaned in close, his breath hot and unpleasant, his gaze triumphant. You need to understand your role, little healer. You aren't a heroine. You are merely the trigger. Arya spat defiance, struggling against the cords. Why me? Why destroy his mind just to bind him to me? Marius laughed, a dry, cruel sound. The silver line is the only defense against the lyric madness. If Kaelin dies, his power merges with the shadow curse, creating a sentient weapon no one can control. If he lives, he needs you to maintain his sanity. So, I engineered a dilemma, trap the two most powerful beings in one chain of agony. Then came the true, gut-wrenching reveal, delivered casually, as if discussing the weather. The night of the massacre? Your mother, a beautiful fool, stood between Kaelin and my blade. I didn't mean to kill them both, but she fought me to prevent me from stealing Kaelin's heart. He paused, savoring her pain. He deliberately recounted the gruesome details because he wanted to break her emotionally, not just physically. It was poetic. They died so he could live, and in doing so, they created the very anchor that guarantees his survival and your eternal suffering. The information hit Arya not as news, but as a shattering memory finally slotting into place. The missing pieces of her childhood trauma coalesced. Kaelin wasn't just responsible for the curse that drew the violence. Her parents had been killed while actively protecting him from the man standing before her. A crushing wave of emotional devastation rendered her mute. She was broken, emotionally gutted, because the man she was willing to die for was the direct, albeit unintentional, reason she became an orphan. The injustice was monumental, the betrayal total. The core emotional question, why save him now, shrieked through her mind. Marius stepped back, satisfied with the devastation wrought by his words. Now you know the truth. You are bound by death, not love. You were born only to be destiny's pawn. He turned, heading toward the doorway. Enjoy the screams of your monster. He is coming for you, and he won't know your face. Arya was left alone, slumped against the stone wall, the silver cords biting into her wrists. She had reached her lowest point. Her original flaw, the fear of being chosen, was fully exposed and justified. She was ready to stop fighting. The walls of the chamber seemed to bleed shadow, and then, she heard the beast's low, chilling howl, not a hunting cry, but a sound that was raw and pathetic, sounding exactly like Kaelin crying in profound confusion and pain. Chapter 19, The Protector's Memory. Arya stopped fighting fate. She slumped further, her energy draining away into the silver cords. She closed her eyes, accepting the quiet surrender. The crushing weight of the past had proven Marius right. She was simply a tool, a beautiful, powerful cage for the Ghost Alpha's curse. She was born to be Destiny's pawn, and that was that. I am ready for this to end, she thought, the resignation of a cold, smooth numbness settling over her heart. The emotional descent was complete, she had hit bottom. She let the pain flow because it was easier than fighting the immutable laws of her cursed fate. The deep, rumbling vibrations of the monstrous wolf's footsteps grew louder, closer, shaking the very stones of the chamber. He was near. This was the end. She braced for impact, ready to accept death, ready for the curse to finally consume her. In the profound darkness of her surrender, a faint, pure image pierced the gloom, unbidden and sharp. It wasn't the monster's rage or Kaelin's recent betrayal. It was a memory, suddenly vivid, untouched by the erasing magic. She saw a field bathed in moonlight, a sound of distant, terrifying screams, and the smaller, terrified form of her younger self. She remembered the sight of the rival Alpha, Marius, towering over her with a silver blade. And then, standing between them, was young Kaelin. Not the cursed man, but a fiercely protective boy of 12, his clothes stained with mud and blood, his eyes blazing with an alpha light that was pure, untainted, and entirely focused on her safety. He wasn't her destroyer. He was her protector. The memory was fleeting, but its impact was tectonic. Kaelin had not been the cause of the curse, he had been the victim. He had not abandoned her, he had been protecting her from the true betrayer. She realized she had been judging the current man by the ancient wound of the past, because the stolen memory twisted her perception of his original intent. The truth galvanized her. Her memory had been stolen, not by Kaelin, but by Marius, to ensure she would reject him, allowing the curse to run rampant and turn Kaelin into the perfect weapon. Marius was the puppet master. The raw fury of the monstrous wolf's approach was deafening now. The wall adjacent to her chamber cracked, showering her with dust. The monster was here. But Arya was no longer afraid. She opened her eyes, the silver flecks in them burning with a quiet, fiery determination. She was done being a pawn. She stood up, pulling against the silver cords, her gaze fixed on the cracking wall. She had fallen to despair, and now, she would rise, reclaiming her power, her memory, and her chosen mate. The challenge was immediate. The monster was about to break through the wall. Chapter 20, The Rising Silver. The realization of Marius's manipulation, the knowledge that her childhood memory was stolen to ensure her rejection of Kaelin, ignited a powerful, purifying rage in Arya. She was no longer fighting fate, she was fighting the architect of her suffering. The quiet surrender of the previous hour was violently replaced by fiery determination. She chose to reclaim her power and history because living in ignorance was a betrayal of her parents' ultimate sacrifice. The massive stone wall before her chamber began to buckle and crumble under the monstrous Alpha's relentless assault. Dust rained down in suffocating clouds, but Arya stood firm, focusing her entire being on the thin, silver-laced cords binding her wrists. The cords, meant to neutralize a simple shifter, were no match for the raw, focused power of a fully awakened silver wolf. She channeled the primal energy that Kaelin's presence had awakened within her. The silver knot on her palm blazed, not with agony, but with immense, controlled heat. She visualized the bond, the true bond of the protective boy and the silver child, and rejected the parasitic lie Marius had created. She channeled this power with absolute conviction, knowing that true love demanded action, not passivity. With a sharp, almost silent exertion of will, the silver cord snapped. The silver light surrounding her intensified, creating a shimmering, protective cocoon of brilliant, clear energy. The wall finally gave way with a tremendous, grinding roar of falling masonry. Standing in the newly created breach was the full, terrifying embodiment of the Shadow Curse, Kaelin. He was a colossal, churning mass of white fire and inky darkness, his eyes glowing pure, primal red, devoid of any human recognition. He was truly a monster, a horrifying, beautiful engine of destruction, and his massive, wolfish head swung toward her, zeroing in on her scent, the scent of his anchor, his peace, and now, his final threat. A primal fear twisted in Arya's gut, but it was quickly subdued by a magnificent, defiant surge of her own suppressed power. She did not flinch. She did not run. "You don't take him, Marius," she shouted into the dust-filled air, addressing the unseen alpha who had fled but was undoubtedly watching. With a profound, irreversible internal shift, Arya let go of the last remnants of her human denial. The latent silver energy that had always resided beneath her skin exploded outward. She felt a burning, liquid transformation, not of bone and fur, but of spirit and light. She didn't shift into a wolf, she shifted into pure, concentrated force. Her silver wolf awakened, not a physical animal, but a brilliant, searing aura of light and formidable will that surrounded her, pushing back the shadows. Arya's eyes were now pure, unadulterated silver, cold and ancient. She had risen, fully stepping into her destiny, no longer running from the power she was born with. She was the unclaimed silver, and she was here to claim her mate. Chapter 21, The Confrontation's Vow. The activated silver aura gave Arya speed and clarity she had never possessed. The monstrous Kaelin, roaring his furious confusion, lunged, his massive claws tearing into the stone floor where she had stood moments before. Arya sidestepped the attack with blinding agility, her goal now purely strategic, reach the core of the monster without being crushed by its uncontrolled wrath. She had no weapon, only the immense, pure energy radiating from her soul. The fortress structure was crumbling rapidly around them, the air thick with the dust of destruction and the volatile energy of two massive shifters colliding. She could feel Marius's presence nearby, savoring the spectacle, waiting for the monster to destroy the key. Arya moved through the debris-strewn tunnels toward the center of the facility, drawing Kaelin's monstrous form after her, a furious, primal shadow chasing a brilliant light. As she ran, she gathered her magic, channeling the memory of the prophecy, understanding the terms of the curse. The curse demanded a willful, conscious choice of the bond. It could not be broken by force, only completed by intent. She stopped in a wide, domed chamber, the epicenter of the facility's power, the ideal location for their final, emotional confrontation. She knew this was the point of no return. She was no longer running from love or destiny because she finally understood that destiny was merely the possibility, and choice was the power. She turned to face the monster, her silver aura burning fiercely in the darkness. Her heart was wide open, purged of fear, focused entirely on the desperate, wounded soul she knew resided inside the shadow. Marius set the trap. "You are fighting him, Kaelin." "Not me," she shouted, her voice echoing with amplified, silver-tinged resonance. The monster paused, its red eyes flickering slightly at the mention of his enemy's name. It was a momentary hesitation, a tiny crack in the wall of the curse. Arya used the pause to speak her truth, transforming their bond from a chain of trauma into a vow of free will. You fought for me once, Kaelin. You protected me when I was just a terrified child. I remember you. I remember the truth. She stepped forward, ignoring the beast's threatening snarls. She spoke the painful history aloud, because only the shared truth could dismantle the psychological components of the curse. The monster let out a confused, pained cry, the red fire in its eyes warring with a faint, silvery light. Arya was calm, focused, and heart open. She was ready. The tense moment of preparation was over. Her action now had to be absolute and final. She walked toward the creature, toward its rage and its pain. Chapter 22, The Vow of Choice. The monstrous Kaelin, driven mad by the curse and Marius's manipulations, let out a terrifying, bone-jarring roar, charging her with the full force of his colossal body. The ground shook violently. Arya stood her ground, utterly fearless. Her silver light intensified, creating a barrier, but she didn't intend to deflect him, she intended to reach him. She walked directly into the path of the monster's rage, knowing that this ultimate surrender was the only way to save him. "You will not hide from me again," she yelled, her voice full of a love so fierce it was almost tangible. "You are not the curse. You are Kaelin Lyric." She did not wait for his impact. She launched herself forward, propelled by pure conviction, leaping toward his massive head. She ignored the terrifying rending claws and the sharp, hot breath of the beast. She landed on his massive shoulder, clinging desperately to his hot, coarse fur. She pressed her burning silver-marked palm onto the place where his neck met his back, where his alpha strength met his cursed fragility. The power transfer was immediate and total. A torrent of energy flowed from her, pure, cleansing silver light washing over the monster's spirit. She felt the full, overwhelming force of the shadow curse fighting back, a cold, hungry entity trying to consume her light. But she held fast. "I choose you," Arya screamed, the words ripping from her soul, a declaration of intent directed not at the monster's mind, but at the true alpha soul imprisoned within. The impact of the emotional surrender was the tension peak, the moment her free will overpowered destiny. The monster convulsed, shaking violently beneath her. It fought the silver light, thrashing in a desperate, final battle between its cursed nature and its true self. Kaelin's soul heard her vow. The horrifying red fire in the monster's eyes suddenly flickered, replaced by a pinprick of pure, familiar silver light, the light of Kaelin's sanity returning. He let out a final, heartbreaking sound that was both a beast's snarl and a man's broken sob. The monstrous form began to rapidly, violently collapse, the fire extinguishing, the shadow receding, the transformation reversing with devastating speed. The monster was dying, and Kaelin was returning. Arya held on, bracing for the inevitable collision of the two worlds. The climax was moments away. Chapter 23, The Unbreakable Vow. The monstrous form of the cursed alpha convulsed, the silver light pouring from Arya's hand fighting a primal war against the black magic that had defined Kaelin for decades. The air thrummed with explosive energy, a whirlwind of ozone, light, and pain. Arya clung to him, her silver aura burning with the intensity of a thousand suns, pouring every ounce of her awakened power and willful conviction into the failing bond. The transformation was agonizingly quick. Fur retreated, bone ground back into human shape, and the colossal beast shrank, collapsing into the powerful, scarred body of Kaelin Lyric. Arya landed on the debris-strewn floor beside him, her whole body shaking from the massive energy drain. Kaelin lay motionless for a terrifying moment, the crushing weight of the shadow curse lifted for the first time in years. Arya crawled to him, frantically checking his pulse, the fear of losing him, not to the enemy, but to the process, a sharp, cold spike of dread. His silver eyes fluttered open, clear and deep, devoid of the red madness. They focused entirely on Arya's face, tracing the lines of exhaustion and fierce love. He was human. He was whole. Gathering the last reserves of her strength, Arya placed her palm, the silver knot now pulsing with a steady, warm glow, directly over his rapidly beating heart. This was not a touch for healing, It was the final, crucial step of the prophecy. It was the free choice. "The curse is broken," she whispered, her voice rough with triumph and profound relief. "But the bond is a choice. My choice is absolute, Kaelin." She looked directly into his soul, allowing him to see every facet of her reclaimed identity, every memory of their shared, painful history. She spoke the ancient vow, transforming the accidental union into an eternal claim of free will. "I choose you, not fate. Not prophecy. You." As the words left her lips, a final, blinding burst of silver light erupted from their entwined hands, crashing against the remaining fragments of black magic clinging to his spirit. The curse shattered, its energy dissolving into harmless smoke. The silence that followed was immense, heavy with catharsis and the promise of rebirth. They collapsed into each other, Kaelin's arms locking around her with a fierce, possessive tenderness that felt both final and utterly safe. He buried his face in her hair, breathing in her scent, pine, rain, and the pure, intoxicating smell of her silver aura. His embrace was a fortress against the cruel world. Chapter 24, The Gentler World. The air was still thick with dust and the scent of battle, but the terror was gone, replaced by a deep, trembling joy. Kaelin held Arya against his chest like she was the only thing standing between him and oblivion. The sounds of external chaos quickly followed. The council hunters, realizing the monstrous weapon was gone and the prophecy fulfilled, fell back, their retreat disorderly and complete. Marius, robbed of his ultimate trap, was nowhere to be found, retreating into the shadows to scheme a new offense. Their immediate threat was defeated. Kaelin pulled back slightly, his eyes still shining with an intensity that made her weak, but the frantic hunger was replaced by reverence. He gently touched the bruise on her cheek where Marius had held her, his thumb tracing the delicate curve of her jaw. His movements were slow, careful, because he finally possessed the capacity for tenderness, unclouded by the monster's desperation. "You saved me," Kaelin murmured, his voice husky with unshed emotion. "You chose the man over the destiny that bound us." He let out a long, shuddering sigh of relief. Arya leaned into his touch, the exhaustion settling deep in her bones. "I chose the boy who tried to shield me, Kaelin. The betrayal was Marius's, not yours." A tender, fragile moment stretched between them, filled with the promise of a future they had fought relentlessly to deny. The world shifted into a gentler, more peaceful place now that the shadow curse was finally expelled. Then, Kaelin asked the question she knew had to be answered, his voice soft, almost hesitant, betraying a fear deeper than any physical pain. "After everything you learned, every choice you were robbed of, every sacrifice, do you regret choosing me?" He searched her eyes, waiting for a final, honest rejection that would crush him, yet give her freedom. Arya looked at the undeniable, beautiful truth of him, the man of noble sacrifice, the protector, the one broken soul whose peace was tied to hers. "Never," she stated clearly, the word ringing with finality. She did not regret the choice because choosing him was the truest claim of her own identity. Chapter 25, The Heart's Home. The ensuing days were spent in quiet retreat, recuperating in a small, hidden cave near the boundary of the abandoned peaks. The mountain air, once thick with foreboding, now felt crisp and clean, the remnants of the curse replaced by the pure, life-giving aura of Arya's silver energy. Arya and Kaelin stood together on a high, windswept ridge overlooking the valley, the abandoned territory they had once fled through. Now, it was theirs, unclaimed by packs and purged of dark magic. Their hands were linked, the silver knot glowing steadily, a permanent fixture of their conscious, mutual choice. Arya's silver wolf was fully integrated into her being. She felt powerful, connected, and utterly at peace. She was no longer running. Kaelin, his alpha core restored and untainted, stood straight, radiating a quiet, magnificent strength. He was a ghost alpha no longer, but an alpha with a new, vast, unclaimed territory, waiting only for her decision. He turned to her, his expression one of profound, adoring worship. He did not issue a command, he offered a sanctuary. "This land is ours, Arya. What do we do now? Arya smiled, a slow, genuine smile that lit up her entire face, erasing the last shadow of her past sorrow. She looked at the desolate peaks, then at the man beside her. She had spent a lifetime trying to be invisible, fearing the spotlight of destiny and the pain of possession. But now, she understood, true power was in choosing to be seen, and true freedom was choosing who claimed your heart. She squeezed his hand, her choice echoing the powerful vow she had made in the climax. "We stay," Arya confirmed. "We rebuild. This is our home." In that moment, her transformation was complete. She had stepped out of the shadow of fear and into the blinding light of self-acceptance and mutual love. She was no longer invisible. She was no longer afraid of being chosen. Kaelin's answer was not spoken, but delivered in a kiss deep, unhurried, and saturated with the soft intimacy of two broken souls finally healed. Their love was not an obligation dictated by fate, but a profound, hard-won sanctuary built by their own agonizing choices. The prophecy had brought them together, but their free will had bonded them forever.